This is Frankly MSP, where managed service providers get real.
Hey, and welcome to episode 47 of Frankly MSP, the podcast where managed service providers who want to boost their productivity, efficiency, and profitability. I'm your host, Jennifer Tribe. Treat wave alert. That's right, it's July, and it's time for another MSP summer treat wave. This is AVIC's third summer co-sponsoring the event, so some of you know the deal already. But for those of you who are new, the MSP Summer Treat Wave is where 10 sponsor companies get together to give MSPs a whole bunch of very cool, very free items. This year, we're giving away several ebooks, a conference pass, a couple of gift cards, a free sales training course, and a few other goodies. Plus, when you join the Treat Wave to grab the free gifts, you're also entered into a draw to win a $1,400 grand prize, which this year includes a Coolest Cooler, a Kindle e-reader, an ice cream maker, Bose audio sunglasses, and lots more. To learn more about the Treat Wave, grab your free items and enter to win the grand prize, just hop over to avic.com/treatwave, all one word, and fill out the form. That's avic.com/treatwave. Today on the show, we'll be talking about more cool things. My guest is Ryan Orsi, Director of Product Management at WatchGuard. Ryan is a former MSP who also spent time at a wireless tech startup called DuckOn. I can't resist. Every time I see that word, I want to say, duck on, dude. Sorry, Ryan. Anyway, now he's with WatchGuard, and he's been working on a very interesting framework for looking at Wi-Fi security. And he's been out and about at events and online, banging the drum, and really trying to rally the whole industry around the need for this framework. So we're going to talk about what that framework looks like. It's called the TWE, the Trusted Wireless Environment, and how you can use that framework to stand out as an MSP and generate more revenue from your client base. But of course, before we get there, we have our One Thing segment, where we hear from an MSP about one thing that's made a difference to their business. Today, we have a Canadian MSP named Tim McBride.
My name is Tim, and I'm the owner of Logos IT Solutions in Central Alberta. The one thing that I would tell an MSP just starting out is to pick your tool stack very carefully. And I mean, your PSA, your RMM, even your bookkeeping software. Pick the tools early on and start with the tools early on that you want when you're big. It's really tempting to start cheap, start with something that you feel like you can afford now. But then in 6 months or a year down the road, all of a sudden you have this whole awkward transition period as you realize that those tools aren't going to scale to where you want to be in another 5 years. I started with cheap RMMs and they wound up causing more issues for my customers than they fixed. And so I'd have to go through the awkward about face and trying to save reputation as I found better tools. And then those tools weren't quite adequate to scale with. And I went through 3 or 4 RMMs before I finally settled with where I'm at now. It's even right at the moment, I'm in the process of changing bookkeeping and invoicing platforms because I started cheap and finally hitting the point now where this one's showing all of its holes and I need to move to a more standardized platform. Honestly, the thing that I wish I had known or had actually done early on was to listen to the big guys. When I was starting out, I had a small mentality. And so when I was asking for advice or looking at all of the reviews online, I'd see the people who are suggesting all of the big name brand tools, the Continuums, the Autotasks, etc. And I thought, those are for the big guys. They're too big for me. And so I didn't even bother looking at them. And now those are the tools that I'm landing on. It was a mindset thing. I was thinking small and I stopped myself from thinking about the tools that I thought the big guys were using.
You're listening to Frankly MSP, brought to you by AVIC Networks.
Great tip from Tim for those of you who are maybe early in your MSP journey. If you're looking for more tips on building your optimal tool stack, you'll want to go back to episode 26 and listen to my interview with consultant Todd Kane. Now we come to my chat with Ryan Orsi about the trusted wireless environment, why it's so important, and how you can use it to grow your business. Hi, Ryan. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Today, we're going to talk about something I find really interesting, which is the TWE, Trusted Wireless Environment Framework. And I know that this is something that you've been intimately involved with. So tell us what the TWE framework is.
The Trusted Wireless Environment Framework is something a team of researchers and I at WatchGuard created as really a technical definition. If you look at, say, trustedwirelessenvironment.com, you'll notice it's not necessarily a WatchGuard specific thing. It's really more of a common way to communicate ideas and definitions of Wi-Fi security and Wi-Fi threats. And one of the analogies I give to a lot of people to kind of get their minds in the right frame set here is, you know, before Ethernet was a thing or the internet was really a standard, machines had really proprietary ways of talking to each other. And then, lo and behold, we had standards come out, and now machines had a common way to communicate with each other, and it really fueled growth of communications. In the world of Wi-Fi security, we're kind of back in those early stages where there really is not a standard way for devices to be secured on with Wi-Fi. And that's really why we came up with the Trusted Wireless Environments framework. And that's the key word, framework, is it really defines what are the threats do you have to be worried about? There's exactly six. There's a lot of ambiguity out there when we talk to people about Wi-Fi hacking. That term can kind of send people going down many different paths, but there are six threats you have to worry about, and there's a very black and white way to detect them and prevent them.
And how long has this framework been around?
It was recently launched, the last quarter of last year in 2018. So we just launched it out there in terms of making the website available, recording some educational videos that are not intended to be super technical, but just try to get the fundamental understandings of what these six Wi-Fi threats are and how do you detect them and what the kind of current state of Wi-Fi security is. And we've been focusing heavily on just getting the education message out there.
So I do want to talk about these six things, but before we get there, what has been the reaction in the industry so far? What kind of pickup have you seen?
Oh, yeah, great question. I would say lots of engagement. People are genuinely interested to get some clarity to, honestly, what they thought was kind of like a dead subject many, many moons ago. You know, Wi-Fi was, quote unquote, mainstream 20 years ago. So in 2019, this is our 20th anniversary of Wi-Fi being in all areas of our personal and professional lives. But people are generally interested in what is Wi-Fi hacking? How does it work? What information can be stolen? And how do you protect yourself or your business? Because there's kind of the perspective of, you know, like you and I traveling around with laptops and tablets and phones. How do we keep ourselves safe? And then there's the businesses that broadcast Wi-Fi for guests or employees. How do they keep their businesses safe? So we've recently been to the Wi-Fi Now conference in Washington, D.C. That was in May last month. That's a great organization led by Klaus Hetting, and all the industry players around the Wi-Fi industry were there. I had a chance to present a short segment on trusted wireless environments. Really good responses from the audience and my fellow industry Wi-Fi members on just continually to get the message out that Wi-Fi security has really yet to truly be a problem that's been understood well. And the solution is even yet further less understood. So I'd say really good focus on the subject from the industry so far.
In terms of education, where are you focusing? Are you focusing on managed service providers and IT service providers, or are you really going to that corporate end client?
Absolutely the managed service providers, right? The folks that their bread and butter business is deploying solutions, whether that be communication solutions, servers, desktops, Wi-Fi access points. But those companies that know how to deploy solutions, sell solutions, and then monitor it on a monthly recurring basis, that's the audience that we've really been targeting, number one. The educational element kind of spans anybody willing to read and listen to the educational aspect. But the way we see businesses really adopting the technology they need to stop these rampant Wi-Fi attacks are really through those MSPs out there that understand how to take a solution set, standardize configuration and monitoring on it, and then deploy it in a way that has assurance to that end customer that it's properly monitored and maintained and so on.
So where does TWE fit in with something like WPA3? Like, I know WPA3 is really focused on the hardware versus the service provider, but do you see them working together, or is TWE filling a gap in WPA3, or what are your thoughts on that?
Like two different universes. So WPA3, WPA2, so this is a common misconception, and it's no fault by anyone other than just, you know, that we've not gotten as an industry the message out there properly. But you'll ask people, is your Wi-Fi secure? You just ask that question, hey, is your Wi-Fi secure at your office? They'll probably say, oh yeah, we've got a password on that SSID. And that is WPA2 or WPA3 encrypted. But that's a misconception that just putting a password on your SSID secures your Wi-Fi. The trusted wireless environment focuses on a, like I said, a whole different universe of attacks. It has nothing to do with whether or not the connection between, say, your phone and the Wi-Fi router or access point has nothing to do with that encryption link, which is what WPA 3 or 2 is all about. It actually has to do with, on your device, if you see multiple SSIDs in the air, how do you tell which one is a legitimate SSID and which one might be broadcasted from an attacker? The machines and the encryption that WPA 3 offers, there's really no way to determine. And that's really what trusted wireless environment brings to light, is we as humans and our devices as clients have no real way to understand what's a legitimate Wi-Fi and what's a Wi-Fi SSID and what is an illegitimate one. And that's really what it focuses on.
So this sounds like a good time to dive into the six threats that you say the TWE framework sort of addresses or identifies.
Yeah. So I'll start with kind of the deadliest one and the one that shocks everybody, because right now, as we're on this podcast together, you could launch this attack. So it's called the evil twin. The evil twin access point has been around 20 years. And imagine if you were having a podcast together talking about like a virus trojan or ransomware that's been around for 20 years with virtually no protection. That's essentially what we're dealing with here. And it's very simple. An evil twin is, for, I'll give you an example, like say you and I are bad hackers and we walk into an office building and we pull out our smartphones and we just look at the Wi-Fi names that are available in the air. And we go, this one is the Wi-Fi that's offered for this building. And we just change our smartphone's name to that Wi-Fi name. Say it's called Office Wi-Fi. And then we turn on our smartphone's feature to enable a Wi-Fi hotspot. You're now broadcasting from your smartphone Office Wi-Fi, which is the same name as what's being broadcasted for the rest of the building. And that's an evil copy or an evil twin. It's as simple as that. And devices will start to connect to your smartphone. People will connect to it thinking it's legitimate office Wi-Fi. And if you're a bad hacker person, you could have a very simple set of tools on your phone or your laptop that are all over YouTube. And you could do things like intercept usernames and passwords, credit card numbers, email, cloud storage accounts. You pretty much have access to anything anybody's doing on that Wi-Fi. And that's the evil twin, just being blunt about it, but 20-year attack, and it's still alive and well today. And if you look at the hashtag on social, trust your Wi-Fi, you'll see a small army of people that are doing these evil twin attacks to themselves. So they're not causing havoc out there, but they're going into public areas and doing evil twin attacks to themselves to see, hey, does this business or this airport or restaurants, does it have proper protection to keep someone else from doing like a really bad thing to people's Wi-Fi? And the results are astonishingly, usually they don't have any protection installed, unfortunately.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, what is your sense in terms of how many Wi-Fi networks are vulnerable to that particular threat?
Oh my gosh. If you're not a three-letter government agency in any country, you're most likely vulnerable to this threat. You most likely don't have the security protection to stop and prevent an evil twin attack, because it's not something that's been on their radar. It's not marketed much in the Wi-Fi industry. Pretty much the idea of messing with Wi-Fi security sort of lived and died in 2006, 2007. But unfortunately, the people that picked up that message were the three-letter government agencies, and not many other people picked it up. So we're really finding that there is a definite alternate universe here of Wi-Fi attacks that need to be addressed.
Wow. And fertile ground for MSPs to come in with a service, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you talk about an untapped, you know, opportunity for MSPs looking to differentiate. I give many presentations around the world to MSPs and I look them square in the eye and I tell them, look, guys, you know, you're monitoring and installing networks and applications all the time. And so is everyone else in the room, right? But if you need to differentiate your service from the break fix people, you know, just from other MSPs in your territory, consider Wi-Fi security and this idea of doing, say, like a trusted wireless environment audit, a security audit as a way to get into an account. It's very easy to do. You can just test for the existence of these six Wi-Fi threats, see if they exist in a network. And it's a very simple way to do that. And they come to that client with an offering to automatically detect and prevent those six threats and provide them scheduled reports. That's kind of the whole basis of how I see MSPs being able to really get their teeth into this opportunity of thinking about not just getting people connected over Wi-Fi and not just monitoring whether or not switches and APs and servers are up or down, but also making sure that it's protected. You have to have a system to be able to detect it in the first place and then produce some nice reporting so they can get that report back in front of their customer on a monthly basis.
So this network assessment, is it a software tool that they can use, or how do they do the assessment?
Yeah, if I spin it to kind of a WatchGuard specific thing, but there's similar ways in other vendor products, but any vendor with an access point to sell, if they do advertise wireless intrusion prevention system or WIPS, that's really the technology that can detect and prevent from these threats. Typically, the assessment is the MSP has a technician deploy one or maybe a half dozen, depending on the size of the building, access points, and they're kind of configured in just this passive, call it monitoring mode. And they just listen and monitor for those six threats, run a report afterwards. And that might take a day, maybe 2 days, depending on, you know, if it's a seasonal business that might have guests coming in at certain times of the day. You want to capture that high traffic. And you just let it monitor and listen. You don't really proactively do anything yet, and run the report. And it should show you, here's all the security vulnerabilities that we found in this network. It might find 2 out of 6, it might find 6 out of 6 threats there. But that's a great report to then educate the customer and position that service offering as a package to that customer. As like, hey, we really need to take care of this. And these threats include, one of them is a direct correlation to PCI compliance. So any MSPs listening that have retail specific customers out there, highly recommend doing a PCI compliance wireless audit. Look for that in whatever access point product you're using, but there should be a way to detect if that Wi-Fi solution is compliant with PCI requirements.
Okay, so is that another of the 6 threats that they should be looking for? So far, we've talked about evil twin.
Evil twin, and this PCI compliance thing that I just mentioned is related to threat number 2, which is a rogue access point. More commonly known terminology in the industry, but really misunderstood most of the time. A rogue access point is very simply an access point or a router that is physically cabled, so connected into, say, that network, like the cardholder data network that holds credit cards. It's actually cabled in and it's connected, and the network administrators do not know about it. So this could be, in many examples we use, like even a janitor with access to a closet can find a Ethernet port or a switch port to plug into in some cases, especially when you're dealing with like distributed franchise locations. They do have difficult times of keeping every single, you know, network jack physically protected. Sometimes they're in the ceiling and the rafters, or sometimes they're just in the guest waiting rooms, and very, very tiny Wi-Fi devices can be plugged in. And that gives the attackers direct access into the wherever the credit cards are going. And they can access that information from the convenience of Wi-Fi from maybe a few hundred feet away.
So this is something where identifying devices that are on the network that shouldn't be on the network would be helpful.
Absolutely. That is paramount to this whole thing, especially for the rogue access point threat. They should not be there. So you have to have some kind of system to determine what is on the network and what's off the network.
Right. And I'll just add in that Avik does that very well. So I know that Avik and WatchGuard work together very well as well. So I think it's a good pairing there.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about threat number 3.
Neighbor access points. What do you do in the office when you're really ticked off that maybe your IT guys have blocked access to like your favorite news site or social feed, or suppose they block YouTube one day? What do you do to get around that? Everybody typically connects to guest Wi-Fi, or maybe they turn on like their mobile hotspot on their phone and they connect to that. These other Wi-Fi sources are known as neighbor access points. So that's a pretty big security threat, because easiest way to get around perimeter security, firewall security, is just look for another SSID to connect to. And if you're doing that from a healthcare hospital location, incredibly bad. If you're doing that even in a restaurant from like a point of sale system processing credit cards, very, very nasty, because you could be connecting to something that's just waiting for you to connect so it can intercept all that data. So that's a neighbor access point.
Okay. Number 4.
The rogue client. So we've talked about rogue AP, but the rogue client is really a victim device. So if you or I happen to accidentally connect to an evil twin because we didn't know, that attacker could very easily deploy malware or some kind of virus on our system that is just waiting for us to connect back into our corporate network so it can spread through the rest of the network without having to go through the trouble of, you know, getting past our firewall security. So the rogue client means if the device has been detected to actually be connected to a bad Wi-Fi access point, that device should be quarantined and not allowed to connect back to the corporate network until IT or security staff from the managed service provider actually make sure it's clean. So that's a rogue client.
All right, number five.
That is an ad hoc connection. I'm not sure if you're a Mac user, but I am. Ever used AirDrop, sending a file from phone to phone or
yes.
MacBook to MacBook? Yeah, so AirDrop is an ad hoc connection. Very naughty of us to do that when we're in a kind of a vertical specific industry, but financial services, government agencies, healthcare, they really hate when we share files computer to computer because their network systems lose visibility of that traffic. And usually they have compliance reasons to make sure that they can determine, you know, this piece of information was shared with this person. When you do it ad hoc, you can't actually see who shared what. So ad hoc connections, that's number five.
And number six.
The misconfigured access point. And a misconfigured access point, you can think about a very, very typical scenario. Happens all the time because we are human beings. We have human error creep in occasionally. So an example of like a business with multiple locations. If maybe a junior admin makes his or her first mistake of the year and they send out an access point that has an SSID broadcasting on it that was supposed to be encrypted with a password and it goes out with no encryption, that's a misconfigured AP because it's just asking for somebody to just sniff that traffic and intercept it. So no one should be allowed to connect to that misconfigured AP until it has its settings changed to have that encryption added back on.
So you mentioned this framework with the threats and perhaps some sort of assessment tool or even checklist. Where can people get more information if they want to dig into this?
Oh, yeah. If they haven't memorized everything we've talked about today, my number one website to go to, I recommend, is trustedwirelessenvironment.com. First and foremost, right in their face, I urge and plead to the masses here to sign the petition. So this is just your name, email address, and what country you're from. And we urge everybody to sign that petition. It is an advocacy movement that we're leading, but we want other Wi-Fi players to join with us. And we're gathering signatures to let the larger industry players in the Wi-Fi space understand that people think this is a problem and we have to have some better standard in the Wi-Fi security space. And after they do that, there are a series of very short 30 to 60 second videos that'll help them understand and maybe in a little more detail each of the threats. They could see an independent test that was done last year, how a test is actually conducted. Maybe an MSP would be very interested in this of, you know, what are the technical ways to conduct a trusted wireless environment test to see if these six threats are in a network. That is available from the Wi-Fi security report that was done by a third-party company called Miercom in the USA here. So there's some good learning materials out there I'd recommend there.
In terms of marketing and positioning, so obviously an MSP can go out and do a network assessment of which Wi-Fi might be a part. Do you recommend that this TWE assessment be part of a larger network assessment or as a standalone?
I would highly urge it to be part of a network assessment because number one, I actually ran an MSP business back in the day and it is costly, you know, if you're doing anything on site with a technician. So you want to reduce the number of times you have that tech on site. So if they're already there doing a physical audit of devices and machines and networking stuff and looking at warranty labels and serial numbers, and they're running the AVIC scan across the network, for instance, if they could also just deploy one access point into a switch in the closet, that's really all they need to do to run that trusted wireless environment security assessment. So very convenient to do it at the same time. It does not disrupt Wi-Fi, does not disrupt any of the AVIC scan going on. So it should be able to be done at the same time too, which should hopefully save that MSP just a bit of extra labor time there too.
And then do you recommend calling it out as a separate piece, maybe charging a separate fee, or should it really just be, here's your network assessment. It includes A, B, C, and D, the TWE framework.
So I want to be careful on how I respond to that. But if I'm an MSP and not many of my peers are doing this yet, because we launched it in Q4 of 2018, I'm probably going to try to monetize what I can monetize. And I think the assessment is something you definitely can monetize because it is a wealth of valuable information. When you sit with that business owner or that C-level IT or security person at your customer's location, and you run through a full TWE assessment report, there is very valuable info that they probably haven't heard of before. So you're going to be giving them education, awareness, a way to keep their business safer and reduce their risk for their business. I think the assessment is monetizable. Some folks might want to differentiate on that and save the upsell and the upcharge until the actual monthly service gets turned on. But I think in the early days, you could absolutely charge for that kind of an assessment. And trustedwirelessenvironment.com will get their technicians and their salespeople at the MSP's business ready to educate, ready to actually talk to that report and that assessment.
We talked at the beginning a little bit about how common it is for networks to be susceptible to the evil twin access point. Do you have a sense of how common the other threats are?
I'll say rogue access points, surprisingly common and not always malicious. So meaning like when you do a rogue access point assessment, which is just a part of a TWE assessment, we see a lot of rogue access points that, you know, they're not plugged in by hackers. They're not plugged in by people trying to sniff credit card data. Those are real life examples of when an attacker wants to do something bad, they can absolutely do that. But we see a lot of rogue APs very commonly just from leftover IT administrators that have, you know, left the business. People have lost track of them, right? Maybe they're not using your services yet because your product would catch that and say, hey, there's 10 or there's a dozen APs here that are old generation and they're broadcasting something. But we do see a lot of rogues, surprisingly enough. Evil twins happen all the time, and it's very scary because typically they go undetected completely because they're not plugged into a network. So a network scan doesn't really catch them. You have to really run a TWE scan to catch them. The misconfigured APs also happen everywhere. It's just human error, right? If you're a network of one office and 100 employees, that's probably going to happen a lot less that you misconfigure something as an IT staff or the MSP servicing that client. But if you're hundreds of employees, a few dozen locations, it gets more common that you see some misconfiguration that could lead to security threats. Rogue clients and kind of the other ones that we have and the other three, a lot less frequent, but this is really anecdotal just from data that we can see and we can collect where you've got people that have opted into allowing us look at kind of these anonymous analytics, what's out there in the wild.
Very interesting chat with you today, Ryan. Is there anything that you want to say to MSPs that you haven't said yet or sort of parting advice?
Parting advice would be MSPs, please, please, please get educated on this. Wi-Fi security is a massive gap and a huge opportunity for yourselves. I've been in managed services before. We did everything from application development to, you know, healthcare software management, et cetera. I would have loved to have been knowledgeable on Wi-Fi security 10 years ago, because what's applicable then is still applicable now. And it's a great way to increase profitability. You could open up another service upcharge. You could increase the pricing of your existing service if you're feeling like margins are being pressured on a daily basis. Great opportunity to focus on Wi-Fi security as a way to help your managed services business gain profitability, market share, and differentiate yourselves. So I would just say the one URL to remember from this chat, besides Avik, is trustedwirelessenvironment.com. That's your good place to start for educational materials. Get yourselves ready to do those assessments.
Ryan, thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
That was Ryan Orsi, Director of Product Management at WatchGuard. We talked about lots of juicy stuff today, and I will, of course, put links to everything in today's show notes at avik.com/franklymsp/047. And while you're there visiting the show notes, please do leave us a note with your thoughts on the TWE. Is it something you'd like to see more vendors support? Has it given you any ideas for new offerings in your MSP? I'd love to hear about it, so leave your comments at avik.com/franklymsp/047. And that's a wrap. Till next time, this is Jennifer Tribe. Thanks for listening.
Frankly MSP, brought to you by Avik Networks, the most efficient and profitable way to manage your clients' networks.